We're so happy to be here, and thank you. Thank you so much for your prayers for Argentina. And I tell people, don't cry for Argentina, pray for Argentina. You know how you don't cry for me, Argentina. Some of you will get that, right? You know, but ask them around you. You know. But it is truly a joy. Thank you, Pastor Ray and Giselle, for your prayers and your church's support of the ministry and being a part there in Argentina, and for the work that God's called us to do in the country of Argentina. We've been involved in new church planting, evangelism, going into communities, raising up churches, and then getting the churches started and going to other cities. And we lived up in the northern part of the country for 16 years, and now it'll be 17 years. Today is 32 years since we've been in Argentina, first went to Argentina. And my first wife, Ellen, I'll tell you a little bit about her story. Actually, you can also read about her story. And she wrote a book that we published after she passed away, Take Courage. Take Courage was his. We sold out last weekend, so I'm really sorry. We got more on the way, but you can also get it on Amazon or iTunes and different venues there, and you can get a copy or a digital copy of Take Courage and their devotionals and her paintings, and tell a little bit of the story. The devotions actually have at the end of them like some questions and a prayer, so you can use in a small group, and it's been a tremendous, tremendous blessing, and so we'll have more copies of that. So I'm sorry that we're all gone to that, but make sure you pass by the table as you leave to get one of our prayer cards. As I mentioned, don't cry for Argentina, but pray for us and all your missionaries. You know, we can go there with your support, but we need your prayers, and that's what sustains us. And so we went to there, and now planted the churches in Argentina. Then in 2013, moved to Buenos Aires, and been involved in new church planting there, and started a church in San Isidro. And in the midst of that, and I'll tell you a little bit more about the story of Ellen, and then what God has done there and that, and how the Lord has blessed us and helped us through many, many trials, many, many difficulties. Isn't that what life is, right? There's a lot of trials, a lot of tribulations. But Jesus said in the world, he said, you will have trials and tribulations. But he said, be of good cheer for what? I have overcome the world. And so we are overcomers through Jesus Christ. And this, actually Tuesday, Di and I will celebrate 2 years married. And so we praise the Lord, and I am so grateful for Diana. She has been such a tremendous blessing to me and to the church. The church loves her, and she's part of the prayer ministry, the missions ministry. In fact, our church in Argentina supports 17 missionaries. And so, you know, it's not just a U.S. thing. It's a God thing, isn't it? And so if you want to be blessed, if you want the blessing of the Lord, do what God's wanting us to do, right? You know, sometimes we say, God bless what I'm doing. He says, why don't you do what I'm blessing? And so we got to do what he's blessing. And if he's saying, you know, bless the nations of the world, bless the nations. And it's amazing, you know, when we give and when we support and pray for others, how God blesses us. I don't understand how that, you know, we can give over there and God blesses us here, you know, and we can do that. And so our church there in San Isidro, and our church just celebrated 8 years in March. And on March, you know, big thing is anniversaries in Argentina. The church, every year they celebrate their anniversary. They're just not the big ones, you know, the 10, the 15, the 20. But every year, and so we made it a missions convention. So the March is missions month, and we have a missionary comes on that Sunday, and we have food, and the missionary speaks, and we take up our faith promises, our commitments for the next year. And it's amazing. Then we have food, and our small groups all make food. And so we eat from different nations of the world, and they get involved in that. But it's all about the world, isn't it? It's all about reaching our world for Jesus Christ. And a lot of people say, you know, isn't the work? We've heard of great things that have happened in Argentina. Absolutely, what God has done has been marvelous. But we are still, of the 42 million, less than 10% born-again believers. So you do the numbers, you know, we still have over 36 million people to reach in the country of Argentina. So do you think we still have a job? Do we have a job, church? We still have 36 million people. And you say, you know, say it's 20%, you know, so, well, okay, there's, you know, there's still, you know, the 80, we still have 32 million people to reach. So the Lord has enabled us to, and we believe that one of the most effective ways to reaching a nation is planting churches. And our goal as a church in San Isidro is to help plant a church every year. And so this past year was really difficult, you know, but we didn't really get that one. But in 2020, but we're going to make it up. We got to make it up in 2021 or 22 because, you know, Jesus said, go into all the world, didn't he? in every community throughout New York and Cobleskill and tell of the good news of Jesus. Isn't there good news in Jesus? He is good news. There's hope in Jesus. There's faith in Jesus. And it was great this morning when we were leaving the hotel. We saw one of the young men, Brian, that lives in your community. And he said, are you going to a wedding? And I said, we're going to a church. We're going to Calvary Assembly of God. And so he said, hey, you know, I know Pastor Ray from a little boy. And I said, why don't you come? So I don't know if Brian, I don't see Brian this morning, but we're praying for Brian. Because as a young boy, he, you know, heard about Jesus, he walked away. But we're going to believe God for him to come back to Jesus. How about that? Amen? Praise the Lord. And so you know what? We are all just sharers of the good news of Jesus Christ. And that's what he's called every one of us. And so he's enabled us. So our young people, our young adults, all of us are called. No, it's not important how old we are. It's our desire for him. And so it is really exciting to see what the Lord is doing. We're believing God for greater things in the country of Argentina, in the midst of all what's taken place in this past year. Our church has been growing. We started this church there, and we're in our building is only about seats about 100 people. And so we said, Lord, what are we going to do with this little, you know, this? But Lord gave us, and we started the church, and the church grew, and then we were always looking all the time. And so then we saw, we went to two services, and then up the street, we saw this building, a piece of property right in the heart of San Isidro. San Isidro, there's 300,000 people in our community. And so people ask, how many people you got in your church? I said, we have 300,000 people. Because we need to reach every 300,000 people. And thank the Lord for all the churches that are there. But that's our goal, not just to our little group of people. And so right up the street, a piece of property, it's about a quarter of a city block. And it's already built. It's a totally brick building. It's a gymnasium. And our architect said, you know, we could have a sanctuary in there for at least 800 people. So that'll take our church to a new level. And we're still planting churches, but that'll take us to a new level of growth there. And that's the good news. You know, I mean, that's the good news. It's like the guy said, hey, he told his church people, he said, you know, I got some good news, bad news, and some good. I got some bad news, good news, and bad news. And he said, well, what's the bad news? The bad news is the church roof leaks. He said, but the good news is we've got the money. But he said, the bad news is that money's in your pockets. And he said, some of you will get that later too. And when we asked him, we said, well, how much is it? And they said, it's $1 million. That was actually 1.2, then 1.1. But they said, you know, raise $1 million. And we said, how do you raise it? You know, and you guys were building, you know what that's like, you know, but raising money. But isn't God faithful? He is faithful. And the Lord said, well, just break it down. Get 200 units of 5,000. You know, how do you eat the elephant? Just a little bit at a time. You know, how do you build a building? What you guys have done, and it's so, and commend you, and what the Lord has done, and what he's going to do. In larger walls and larger boundaries. Is, you know, the greatest harvest is yet to come, isn't it? And so the Lord, and so we started raising those 200 units of 5,000. Thank you for your church, for an offering you gave to help towards that. And but we're believing we have 75 of those 200 units. Can you say praise the Lord? So we're a third of the way there. And so we have another 125 units. And so we're saying, Lord, $5,000, Lord, you're going to give those. And breaking them down into pieces, however part of that can be given. So would you pray for us that the Lord will help us during this year that we're here that we can raise it. The average income in Argentina is only about $330 per month. So, I mean, that's not a lot of money. But, I mean, our church is doing their part. There's no church loans. We can't borrow in Argentina for anything like that. But we're believing God for a miracle as our church in Argentina does their part and as we believe God for our part. And I want you to pray for that miracle. Amen? And believe God that we're going to see those funds raised and see that building. And we want to get it done as soon as possible before they change their mind. I'm selling that building that we can get that. So I want you to open your Bible to in copy of God's Word to Matthew chapter 24. And I want to talk to you a little about the coming, the end of the times and where we're living. What are, you know, just, I'm going to look at the three areas from Matthew chapter 24. That'll help us to keep our focus and help what he's called us to do in our times. You know, like they came to Jesus and they said, Jesus, you know, in verse number three of Matthew chapter 24, verse number three. And they said, Jesus, tell us, when will this happen? Jesus, you know, he talks to them. He said, Jesus left the temple, verse number one, and was walking away from his disciples, came to him and called him to attention the building. And he says, do you see all these things? He asked them. I tell you the truth, not one stone here will be left on another, and everyone will be thrown down. And Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, and the disciples came to him privately, telling us, tell us, they said, when will this happen, and what will be a sign of your coming and the end of the age? And Jesus answered, he said, in verse number four, watch out that, what? No one deceives you. For many will come in my name, claiming I am the Christ, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. But see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines, earthquakes in various places. And all these are the beginning of birth pains. We see a lot of that happen, don't we? You know, pandemics and all kinds of crazy things happen around our world, and earthquakes and wars and rumors and war. And verse number nine says, and then you will be handed over to be persecuted. Oh, isn't this exciting, isn't it? And yeah, we came to be encouraged this morning, lift them, and put to death. And he says, and put to death. And you will be hated by all nations because of me. At this time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will what? Grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel, would you say this with me? And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to us, speak to each one of our hearts, and open our hearts and our minds to your word. We love you, and we are anxious to hear what the Spirit has already spoken, but is continuing to speak to our hearts. So let your word speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. It's incredible to know when we talk about the end times. You know, sometimes we see all kinds of things. You remember like the thief in the night is many years ago and all kinds of, you know, things about that. But the Bible actually talks so much. There's so many prophecies in the Old Testament about the coming of Jesus. And it's also interesting that in the New Testament, Jesus spoke more about his second coming than his death. He talked about his second coming. In fact, it's interesting that there are one out of three verses talk about the second coming or the end of the time. 214 chapters in the New Testament, 300 references, 23 of the 27 New Testament books speak of Christ's return. So do you think it's an important theme? You think it's an important? So Jesus, the disciples came to Jesus and they wanted to know, what's this all about? And, you know, we hear a lot about the typical things throughout that passage of Scripture, you know, wars and rumors and all the different things. But I want us to point out a couple things maybe we haven't seen before. First of all, I want you to look at what he says. He says in verse number four, Jesus answered, watch out that no one what? Deceives you. He said, watch out that no one deceives you. In fact, if you look throughout the scriptures, out throughout this passage of scripture, many times Jesus talks about deception. And the first thing that I would look as the first warning sign for his coming, first warning to us, is to not lose our sight and not lose the truth. You know, isn't sometimes truth, we just, you know, truth is relative. It's just whatever you believe. It's like, you know, there's not like anything. But really, that is a deception of the enemy. Have you ever been into one of these like amusement park or these like fun houses where they have like the mirrors and they change your image? You know, it makes you look really heavy or it makes you really thin and said, I want to stay in front of that mirror. You know, I really like that mirror because that's not what the reality is it? And we live in a world of deception. It's all around about us, isn't it? What is the Bible says that Satan is the what? He is the deceiver. And if there's something that scares me any more than anything, is to deception. The Bible talks about various parts of deception. First is the deception to the unbeliever. In fact, Paul writes to them, and he writes in Corinthians, he says that the God of, he says in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he says, the God of this age has what? Blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see what? The light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Aren't you glad? And this morning, if you're here and you don't haven't seen that, have the Lord hasn't, you have those, feel those blind. Is, I think our first prayer is, the Lord, help us to remove those blinders from our eyes. So, you know, that's one of the things that we need to pray as we pray over our community, pray for our neighbors, and we pray for our friends and family, that their eyes would be open. And that's one of the prayers that I want to continue to pray for my life, is that God would continue to keep my eyes open to the truth of God's word. Keep our eyes open. Because, I mean, if the internet or the TV or the media or social media becomes our measure of truth, we are big trouble, aren't we? You know, I was talking to a pastor this week, and he said, you know, today people believe anything. And they said, you know what? I saw it on the internet. It's like the internet is the gospel. It's like, hey, I heard this guy talking about this, so it's got to be true. You know, that there is a chip in the virus, or there's some kind of different, I don't mean, whatever, just what, I don't know, whatever. But they'll find any kinds of things to believe what they want to believe. My prayer is, God, help us not to be deceived. How about you this morning? So wherever we stand, wherever, the Bible, God's word, Jesus said, watch out, you are not deceived. He talked to the unbelievers. So he says, let your eyes be open. Let your eyes be open. My prayer is, Lord, help me never, and let my eyes always be open, and help me to always see the truth of your word. What the psalmist says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. So it doesn't matter where we are. Lord, help us to get the believer. Jesus said, not only that, he said, there's not only deception to the unbeliever, there's the deception to the believer. Why do believers do what they do? He says in 1 John 1:18, he says, but we claim to be without sin. We deceive ourselves, and the truth is what? Not in us. We can be deceived. Jesus, and Paul writes in Galatians, he says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. So the deception, in fact, Robert McGee wrote in his book talking about the search for significance, said one of the most important rules of war is to know your enemy. If we are unaware of Satan's schemes and lies, we will be ineffective in spiritual warfare. First, we must uncover Satan's deceptions in our thoughts and beliefs to replace them with those lies with the powerful word of God. Amen? So it's not just to the unbeliever, it's to the believer. And I think that one of the most scary parts is self-deception. Self-deception, where we deceive ourselves and we can twist the scriptures to say what we want them to say because it lines up better with what I want to believe. So we can find anything, what we want, we can find it. But God's word is God's word, and it is truth. Is that right? Is truth not, you know, it's not relative. It's like, you know, it's, well, anything goes, you know. But his word is truth. Can you believe that with me? So we need to know what God's truth is. So if I don't know what his truth is, we can be deceived. In fact, you know, when we go through trials, we can say, you know, where is God? You know, how come, you know, if I'm a Christian, you know, everything should be hunky-dory. You know, I should be going through trials or situations. And in 2015, when Ellen and I went for a physical, and just a regular physical, and the doctor said, you know, they called us back, and they said, you know, there's something mad with your blood. And so they said, we want you to go get another check, and they confirmed she had leukemia. You know, sometimes we feel like, you know, I felt the same way. I said, God, you know, we've been serving you here in Argentina for 27 years. I mean, give us a break, Lord. You know, it's not always been easy. You know, betrayals and planting churches and going in the cities, raising up churches and the fights and the battles and seeing those churches started and growing. And it's been exciting because several of the churches, you know, one church planted like five other churches that we started, and it's marvelous. And I said, you know, God, we're just getting in now that this Ellen has, we have our own congregation, and we planted this church, and in the midst of that. And so then they said, you know, it's a type of, so we went through 30 days of chemo, and then in the middle of that, they said, you know, you need to have bone marrow transplant. And so in the middle of the bone marrow transplant, she got an infection in the hospital, and they had to induce her into a coma. And she was in a coma for over 30 days. And I remember going back and forth to the hospital and saying, you know, God, this isn't fair. You know, this isn't right. And we do that. We all do it, don't we? I mean, no, it's not. We all have trial. We all have things. And I said, God, this is not, you know. And even in the midst of that, and I said, God, what do we do? And the Lord just continued to strengthen us through his word. And I said, God, do you want us to leave? And what do you want us to do? And I remember the night before Ellen went to be with the Lord, and I just had to give her to him. And I had to just surrender. That was the hardest thing. It's like, you know, it's like a knife in your heart. 52 years old and been married 32 years and serving. And I tell the people, you know, my wife is not just my, like, a 9-to-5 wife. You know, we were like in the partnership. You know, we went into Santa Fe and didn't know anybody else up there in northern Argentina, hardly spoke the language, and a new culture, new people, and midst of eating all these different things and starting this churches up there. But the Lord knit our family together, and we're working now. Here we're now in Buenos Aires, and we started this church and all these things. And then when she passed away, and I was with her that whole night, you know, and that sometimes, you know, those things can rock our faith, can't they? You know, it can, and it did in my, you know, our boys and the situation. But I want to give thanks to the Lord. The Lord, he does sustain us. And I think of Job, you know, Job says, even though he, you know, slay me, he said, I'm going to trust in him. You know, isn't it easy for us to just cash in on the truth or cash in on our situation? Say, you know what? You know, this is what it's all about, or in this marriage or whatever, in our situations and our families and our home and the world and stuff. But Jesus calls us to maintain the truth of his word in our hearts, doesn't he? And he will give you. He is an anchor to us. His word is an anchor, and he is true. And when all around about us there could be shaking sands, but I love that song. It says, on Christ the solid rock I stand. Can't we stand on his word? And that's what Jesus told his disciples. He said, listen, you're going to be rocked in your faith. There's going to be all kinds of deceptions. Don't believe those lies. Deceivers, deceptions, false teaching. And I mean, we can find whatever we want, all kinds of things. But Jesus said, watch, keep the truth. He said, not to be deceived. What's the second thing that Jesus gave to his disciples? He told them, he said in that, in chapter 24, verse number 7, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. Over 700 references to the word heart. You think it's important in the Bible? Our heart. And we're not talking about that pumping thing that, you know, our heart. Not the defib outside the door, you know, like sometimes we need that spiritually, don't we? You know, give this guy a shock or, you know, wake him up spiritually. But Jesus is talking about what? Our seat of emotions, our heart, our deep heart of our body, soul, mind, our spirit, the heart. He said, the scripture says, you know, he says that the heart is deceitful of all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? I can't even understand my own heart. Can you? And, you know, it's not only we can be deceived by our eyes and by the truth, but our hearts can become cold, can't they? And what I see in this is Jesus said, don't lose your passion for me. Because isn't it easy to, like, fire to go out? Or, you know, it's like a cup, you know, we just get drained out. It's like they poke holes in us all, you know, like a little cup that gets all the holes poked out of us. And the world, things just start to drain out of us, and we lose our passion for God. We lose our love for God. In fact, Paul writes in Ephesians, he commends the church of, for your passion for God in Ephesians. Then we read in the church of Revelation, he said the church of Ephesus has forsaken their first what? Their first love. And isn't it easy for us to forsake our first love? And, when we first came to Jesus, it's all exciting. We want to tell everybody Jesus. And then, the fire goes out and we start. But isn't that something that has to be renewed daily? I teach church planting. In fact, I just finished teaching students in Chile to church planting. Last year in Colombia on church planting. And that's one of the things. But, the tendency of churches, to go up and peak to a point and then start to go down the other side and to die. And that's not something we like or whatever. But, and I said, one of the things we need to do, when we get to those points of where we start to head down the other way, we need to renew ourselves. And I talk about like church planting because that kind of revives us to read. There's nothing that brings new life as a little baby into your home. Any grandparents here or any moms and dads, they bring stinky stuff with them, right? Those diapers and all those ugly kind of things. But don't they bring joy, don't they? And that's what new believers, isn't that what our new of renewing of our faith? And so, I say, if we're winning for faith, we need to win some people for Christ. My prayer is during many people will be baptized in your baptismal soon. And in your discipleship, the new people will come to Christ Jesus. Isn't that what it's all about, church? It's not just hold the fort. It's not just to wait until Jesus comes. It says occupy. He says, and the greatest way we can occupy is keeping our passion alive for Jesus. Keep our vision alive. Keep our hearts and our hearts alive. And that's one of the things, as we starting churches, you start the church and you say, wow, you put your heart and flesh into it. And like I said, we get this church going. And Ellen said, we get the music going again. And then we're leaving that church and we're going somewhere else, and starting with the bad music and all over again, and all this stuff. But when we're starting all over again and we're renewing our faith, is the Lord give us a fresh fire of his Holy Spirit. Don't you need a fresh injection of the Holy Spirit every day? What's the scripture says? It says be filled or be being filled. It's not just a one-time shot deal. It's not like, hey, I got the badge. I've got filled with the Holy Spirit in 1946 or 1960 something, whatever. 19 for me, I was 17 years old when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But it's not just one time, it's every day. He said, be being filled. And that's what I need. How about you? And that's what I want for our little granddaughter, Ellie, who is a year and a half old. And I want her to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want her to know Jesus. And I want her to come to a knowledge. So don't give up on your children, your grandchildren, your children. Keep holding on and believing God. In fact, today, I think it's Grandparents' Day. I think I read somewhere on my calendar. And being a, 2-year grandfather, it's great, But the faith that we give to our kids is one of the most important things we can give them. More than any kind of money. I mean, money's just going to be here and they're going to fight about it later. Families get all split up over money. But how about our faith? And I think that's one of the most important things is to give our faith. And that has to be alive in me. That has to be alive in us. So God, give me a fresh passion for your word. Sometimes we have to just shake it up, don't you? I've been reading my Bible on my phone, and I say, this is good, but I'm going to go back to the Bible, to my physical Bible. I'm going to go back to the I know that's old school, but I'm going to go back to the copy, to the printed, and you see things you didn't see before. So whatever you need to do in your spiritual walk, we need a fresh passion for Jesus. Do you need it? What did Jesus say? He said, the love of many can just... weighing cold. It can become cold. So he said, don't lose your passion. Don't lose your desire. Don't you lose that desire for me. And that's one of the things as we're planting churches. That church there in San Isidro I talked to you about that we're believing. And almost every Sunday, we're seeing new people come to Christ. You talk about the pandemic. We had to close down for 10 months. Thank the Lord we were already online. And we had small groups, and so they went to Zoom, and thank the Lord for Zoom and all these crazy, these nice things that we can. I mean, it's not the same, but it was something. And And in the midst of that, people were coming to the Lord. In fact, one of our parishioners, there was a young man in our church, and his girlfriend, we had done a baby dedication. They had come to the Lord, and they had come to the church, but they hadn't come. And in the midst of the pandemic, one of our members of the church talked to this young man, Sebastian, 30-something years old, and he was an atheist and gave his heart to Jesus Christ. And then his girlfriend came to Christ, and their little child. They're getting married in October, and God is turning their life around for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our associate pastors, Dewey, did a book on discipleship that we take people through on to CMA, Follow Me, discipleship. And so our associate pastor is discipling him. His wife is discipling. And then our sister-in-law came to Christ, and Di is discipling her. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand and praise him. There's nothing like leading people to Jesus. There's nothing like keeping up that passion. That's the hardest. And this morning, our church, we went back. They went back for a while, and then they closed down a little bit. But we're back to two services, 9:11 there in San Isidro. And there's people there. We're worshiping this morning at 9 o'clock there at 11. And we're praying for new souls there as you pray for new souls here. And keep our passion alive. Keep our passion alive. And Jesus, would you give us a fresh fire from on high? Don't you need that? I need it. I need it. We need it in our generation. There's a statement that says, you know, the world at its worst needs the church at its best. So we need to be at our best. And this morning, if you're here and you're not at your best with Jesus, he can transform us. Aren't you glad for that? Aren't you glad that there is hope in Christ? It doesn't matter where I am right now. He wants to change me. Don't you like change? Don't you like it when he changes us? And he said, you know, that's kind of creepy what you got in your life. Those aren't good things that, you know, those thoughts and those things and those attitudes. Oh, wow. Now we're stepping into really deep waters, right? But he says, I want to change those things in life because I want you to be more like me. How many want to be more like him every day? You know, and that hurts, doesn't it? Because it hurts for us to see what we really are. To see the things in our lives as he puts it in the mirror. And he says, watch your heart. Watch your heart. In fact, Ellen talks about it in her book. You know, that was her favorite verse, was Proverbs 4:23. Above all things, guard your heart because it's the wellspring. And that's what Jesus says. He said, don't let, you know, little petty things destroy your faith or destroy your love. Well, this one, you know, they didn't greet me, or this person, you know, and they, you know, we need to mature in the Lord, don't we? Daily. As we grow in him and trust in him, he wants to build us a faith. I love what Ezekiel says. He says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. God, give us a heart of flesh. Give us a heart to cry for those that are lost. Help us to see the urgency of the hour. And that's just the last thing Jesus said in 14. How are we doing on time? Okay, we doing all right? Anyone want to leave now? You want me to do the last one? No, we're good right there. That's fine, yeah. Who's going to say that? Verse 14, Jesus says, and this gospel what? Of the kingdom. So we're of a different, I mean, Jesus came, you know, the religious leaders wanted Jesus to set up a kingdom here. In fact, they were really disappointed because they thought, you know, their Messiah is going to come take them out of the all of the, you know, the deep pockets of the IRS, you know, the Roman Empire getting into their pockets and doing all these things, you know. They thought that Jesus was going to come and set them free from all the things around him. Jesus says, my kingdom's not of this world. In fact, my kingdom is not, my kingdom is in your hearts. And he said to it, and he told us, he said, the gospel of the kingdom is the power. He says, the kingdom of God. He says that the kingdom, it's a kingdom now, but it's a kingdom yet to come. Not now, but it's yet to come. There is a kingdom, his kingdom come. Jesus said to his disciples, he says, pray this one. They said, how do we pray? He said, pray thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So the kingdom of God, Don't lose the vision. Don't lose our vision for the lost. Don't lose our passion. Don't lose our desire for the lost to come to him. He says, look, let the nations. In fact, they asked Helen Keller, is there something worse than losing your eyesight? And she, or her eyesight, and she said, is there anything worse? She said, the worst thing is to have your eyesight and lose your vision. Because a lot of people have eyesight, but they don't have a vision for what God has and his plans. And we can lose our vision, can't we? We can get distracted. But Jesus said, keep your vision alive. Keep a vision. Keep our vision. Keep our eyesights. Keep our lives, on those that need to know his love and mercy. Keep a vision. Keep a vision for the world. And that's a challenge, isn't it? You know, we see our world, we see all the things around, and we see, wow, the task is so big. But you know what? It's one life at a time. It's like Sebastian, and it's like Claudio and Alberto, a couple that came to our church, and they were, he actually came and did some, was a friend, and was doing some work in our house, and I talked to him about Jesus. And when we were starting the church in Sunday Seder, I said, come. You know, so we said, oh, you know, they're not interested. They are. I said, we're having a talk on forgiveness. Would you like to come? And he came, Alberto, and he cried through the whole meeting about forgiveness. Isn't that what our world needs is forgiveness? And the only forgiveness, the greatest forgiveness is in forgiving, our forgiveness from God. In fact, I was telling Di on the way over, remember Ellen's grandfather was in here, was in an old folks home at my first wife, he was 100 years old. And we went to go visit him. One of the times we were here, I think it was maybe the last time, at our nursing home. And I said to him, Grandpa, I said, have you ever heard John 3:16? 100 years old. He had never heard John 3:16, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Can you believe that? In fact, he helped developed the ticker tape that was used in Wall Street years and years and years and years and years and years ago when they used to use ticker. He invented like the machine that did that. But he had never heard that God so loved the world, that God loved him, that he gave his son. So we can't say, you know, everybody's heard, everybody knows. They don't know. Like Alberto came and then he brought his girlfriend. About a year or so later, was able to marry them. But the greatest thing was when she gave, they were our first two people that got baptized in our church in San Isidro. And when they baptized, she says, I've been running from God all my whole life. In fact, she had a twin sister that had been praying for her for 30 years. 30 years in North Carolina and South Carolina. And she came to know Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. Hallelujah. Amen. So it's never late. Let's keep our vision, keep our heart alive for the lost. How many people, in fact, you know, I heard this statement, I like it. It says, we measure our love for God by our love for the lost. That'll shake us, won't it? And another one, it says, why should we hear the gospel twice when those who haven't heard the gospel once? Another one, we can't measure the harvest by what we see, but what is still unseen. And so what Jesus tells us, he says, keep our vision alive and keep our heart alive. And that's our prayer for Calvary. That's our prayer for Argentina, for Centro Cristiano Vida in Buenos Aires, Argentina, for our world. Lord, help us to keep our eyes on the truth. Keep us not to lose our sight and not to lose the truth. Lord, help us always to keep our passion for you. And Lord, help us always to keep our vision clear and what God has in store. Can you say amen this morning? Amen. Are we ready to live it now? Famines, we like all that kind of stuff. You know, wars, you know, all kinds of things. Star Wars, you know, all this thing. That's really cool. But it is, you know, then it comes down to, well, how about me? What are some of the things that he wants us to do? So I want you to pray. And we're going to believe God this morning that God will give us an outpouring of his Holy Spirit. I like what the scripture says. In the last days, he says, I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And I just happen to believe, and you can call me crazy, but I think our best days are ahead of us. You know, a lot of people think, well, you know what? The train's left the station, and we weren't on it, and it's all over, you know, and well, it's all done, you know. But I believe our best days are ahead, and I believe God's going to send outpouring of the Holy Spirit to our young people, to all generations. Do you believe that? That God wants to fill us with the Holy Spirit, empower us with the Holy Spirit, and do things in our generation that we're, you know, we need it. The United States, we need it. We need it all in the nations of the world. So how about if we first, God, say, Lord, touch me. Give me, Lord, help me not to be deceived. Help me, oh God, to always keep a passion for you. And help me, oh God, to give me a fresh vision from you. So why don't you stand with me and let's just lift our hands and give him praise and thank him. Father, we want to just first of all give you praise and thanksgiving for all your goodness, Lord. Lord, we want to praise you this morning. We want to lift our hearts and lift our voices, Lord. Lord, we just need you this morning. We ask for an outpouring of your Holy Spirit. Lord, I just want to thank you for all the wonderful things, God, that you've done in every generation and all the things that were done. But Lord, God, we just need more of you. And Lord, we ask for less of us and more of you. And Lord, we want your kingdom to come. Lord, we pray for the will of the Father to be done in our hearts and in our lives. So we open our hearts to you. Would you just say, Holy Spirit, I open my heart to you. Thank you for the knowledge of your word. But we thank you, Lord, for the maturity of your word in our hearts. And Lord, we want a transformation. And I want a transformation. I desire, Lord, that you would transform me and transform my family and my home. And daily, Lord, I want an endowment of power. Would you just say, Lord, I need your power in my life. I need your anointing on my life. And God, I pray that you would open my heart to the truth of your word and that your word would be a lamp to my feet. And Father, I thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit and just open our hearts. Would you just worship him for a moment this morning? Just praise him. Lord, we just praise you and thank you this morning. We thank you, Lord, in our world, around the world. We pray for each one of the missionaries that are part of Calvary, Lord, that they're helping locally in ministry and around the world. And Father, throughout New York State and throughout the United States. And God, we just pray for an outpouring of your Holy Spirit in Cobleskill, Lord. Thank you for pastor and the work and the church and the wife and family and the ministry that has gone forth from this church. And God, we pray, God, that you would just give a fresh outpouring of your Holy Spirit, Lord. And I pray for new souls to come to Christ. Lord, in the midst of all the craziness of our world, we thank you, Lord, that you are still on your throne. You're still at work in our world. And Lord, we open our hearts to you. And Lord, I pray that you give each of us a fresh vision of your Holy Spirit, a fresh vision of the lost, Lord God. Lord, give us a passion for those that don't know your love. They're all around about us. Lord, we pray for families. We pray for marriages this morning. We pray for homes. We pray for lost jobs. We pray for community. We pray for every area of our needs for you. And we pray for Brian today. And we ask that you would touch him in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that those that are watching on the internet, that, Lord, you're touching them even in their home, Lord, and us present here in this place. And we ask, Lord, that you would do things that would surprise us, Lord. Open our eyes, Lord, to see the greatness of our God. Open our eyes to see your goodness and your mercy. And to, Lord, to get us ready, Lord. Get us ready. And Father, we just pray for miracles in our hearts, Lord God. I pray for that heart that is maybe far from you, that doesn't know you, that this morning they would make a surrender of their life to you and just say, Jesus, be my Savior and my Lord. And that you would come and be right there with them. And Jesus, as you are standing at the door and knocking, I pray that they would open their heart to your Spirit and say, Jesus, Lord, we've run long enough. And we run into your arms and we open our hearts to you. Jesus, we thank you that you are the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by you, Jesus. And we thank you for your Holy Spirit, making your word alive to us, making your spirit alive in our hearts. And God, I pray for Argentina, and I praise you and thank you for all that you've done and all you're doing in each of the churches and each of the homes. And Lord, we pray that you would just continue to give us fresh vision and fresh desire. Lord, and I pray that and around the world, that God, we would see miracles, miracles, miracles of provision, miracles of power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we just love you, and we just open our hearts to you, and we just thank you this morning. Would you just thank him this morning? Just say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your word. Lord, let your word help us and guide us and direct us. Lord, we need your word like never before. And we love you this morning. We praise you this morning. In Christ's name, we worship you. We worship you, Lord.
But we also want to invest in our missionaries. This church has a missions heart. 30 different missions works that we've been able to support on a monthly basis. Plus, because of your generosity, we've been able to bless beyond. Helping Rocco was one of those that we were able to bless.